from the Bakersfield Chiang Mai Mission, our moderator, Dr. Anil Mehta, discusses Chapter 7, Verse 21 of the Bhagavad Gita.
And then last week, he talked about the rest of us, people who are so involved in desires. In the verse number 20, he says, these people are so involved in their selfish desires, their intellect, their discriminative capacity is stolen because of their desire. And they chase after worldly things based on their desires, based on their vasanas, based on their tendencies. And so each one of us has something that he or she enjoys the most, and that is what we want to have at all costs. And so he says there are different kinds of people who worship different gods. By gods, he does not mean the heavenly gods, but the powers that grant us the wishes. And whatever we propitiate depends on our desires. What you want, that is what you go after. So today he will talk about, now what happens once you have this strong desire for something, what exactly happens, and do you get it or not, and how do you get it? We shall talk about that in the verse number 21. Chapter 7, verse number 21. Yo, yo, yam, yam, tanum, bhaktaha, shraddhayarchitum icchati. Tasya tasya chalam shraddham tameva vidhadham yaham. So yo yo, yaha means whoever that person may be, man or woman, young or old, black or white, whoever, whatever race, whatever color, whatever sex. So whoever, whatever, tanum means form. Whoever that person may be and whatever form that person may worship, Shraddhaya Architum Ichchati. Shraddhaya means with total faith and devotion. Architum means to propitiate, to worship, Ichchati. So a person, whatever form of the Lord he or she wishes to worship, Ichchati, he has the desire, but it has to be with Shraddha. Shraddha is a very pregnant word. Shraddha is often translated as faith. But faith can also be blind faith, where you just blindly believe, you know, what somebody said, I totally believe, my teacher said it, or the scripture says it. So I totally believe, and that is good. But better is faith with understanding. You don't just blindly, just because the Gita says it, or just because the Bible says it, it's true. No. I don't do that. I listen to that, what Christ has said, as what Krishna has said, what Muhammad has said, and then I think about it. And then I see that, is it pertinent to my life? Does it apply to me? Will it benefit me? So when that knowledge strengthens that faith, that is called Shraddha. So faith strengthened with knowledge, because then that faith becomes firm. And that is why they say faith can move mountains. So one is blind faith, where you blindly accept, and that is good. But when you understand it, then your faith will not waver, even when there are obstacles come, even when the people say, I love God, God is so wonderful. And the moment they have the first problem, then they say, what is this God in heaven? He's sitting there, he doesn't know my suffering. He's this, he's that, or I'm not going to stop going to church now. Why? Because God doesn't listen to me. So that is called blind faith. But faith with understanding is called Shraddha. So he says, with Shraddha, with faith, when you worship a particular form of the Lord, tasya tasya, his or hers, achalam shraddham, that Shraddha I make it achal. Chal means move. Achal means that which does not move. So which is, so what he does, he says, I make that faith firm. Tam eva vidadhami aham. I give that. Vidadhami means I give it, I make it firm, that faith. So this shloka, we can look at it from three different aspects. So he says, whatever thing you approach with total faith, with determination, I make that faith stronger. That's what he says. So we can look at it from three different aspects. One is from the spiritual or religious aspect. Because in this world, we find people worship different forms of the Lord. Somebody worships Krishna, somebody worships Shiva, somebody Mother Goddess, somebody Jesus on the cross. Somebody says, no form, you know, I'll only worship that stone in Mecca. Or somebody says, I only worship the Lord in my heart as the life. Somebody says, I worship Lord among all the people. I see him and I serve him, like Mahatma Gandhi. He said, all of them are the Lord. You know, that's why he even called the lowest caste. He called them Harijan, that they are the Lord himself. So he says that whatever way you worship, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you worship in a church or a temple or a mosque, whether you worship in a group or whether you worship alone, whether you sit in a cave in the Himalayas or under a tree, or you worship, you know, loudly, publicly. You know, some people like to sing like this Hare Krishna. They loudly sing the glories of the Lord. Or you say, I don't want this loud. I just want to secretly stay in my room. And nobody should even know that I am worshiping. So he says, it doesn't matter whom you worship, where you worship, whether you worship kneeling down or whether you worship lying down flat or whether you stand up or whether you use flowers or you use the candles or you use the aarti or the incense. It doesn't matter. The main thing that is important is that you should have faith and you should have love for that particular form of the Lord. You should have faith and you should have love. And that is the beauty of this text, that there is no fanaticism. See, fanaticism comes when I say that this particular form of the Lord is alone. You know, yes, you love a particular form. You love to look at Jesus. You look at Mother Goddess. You look at Shiva, Krishna. And that is fine. That is your Ishta Devta. That is the one you love. And love for that form is good, because that form is not only confined to that form, but represents the Almighty God. And that is very wonderful. Unless you have love for Lord, you cannot reach him. But the problem comes when people become fanatic, where they say this form of God alone is best and everybody else is inferior. Oh, people who only worship Christ will go to heaven, everybody else will go to hell. Or people who, you know, worship Muhammad are good, everybody else needs to be slaughtered. In Hinduism, even we used to have, and we still have, Vaishnavites and Shaivites. You know, people who worship Vishnu, Krishna, Ram, they say Vishnu is superior, Shiva is useless. Other people say Shiva is good. And so this whole thing, this breeds fanaticism. Well, not only that, even among Christians, the Protestants are killing the Catholics. Both read the Bible, both worship Christ, but no, I don't know for what. In Muslims, the Shias and Sunnis, it's the same thing. It's the lack of understanding of what the scripture is saying. Muhammad, he did not discriminate between Shias and Sunnis. It is we who made these divisions and then we fight. And Christ never said, you know, that, you know, Protestants and Catholics and Episcopalians and Seventh-day Advent, all these people, they have so, it's good. There's nothing wrong with having variety. But then when we become fanatic, that this form alone is superior, and same thing we find in Hindus also. There is so much conflict, so many problems. So he says that it does not matter which form of the Lord, it does not matter how you worship, just worship him or her, the form of the Lord. You can worship Mother Mary, you can worship the Mother Goddess, but worship the form of the Lord with love, and then when you do that, you remember that all represent the one. When Krishna says one, that means the one reality that is all-pervading. All these are manifestations of that one reality, whether it's Mother Goddess, whether it's Jesus, whether it's Krishna, whether it's Shiva. They are all visible manifestations of that supreme reality, whom we cannot see, whom we cannot perceive, whom we cannot think of. So that infinite Lord in his infinite mercy has given us infinite forms, infinite forms. You know, in the, as we had read in that book, Vishnu Sahasranama, there are 1,000 names you can worship the Lord. The idea is that pick one name that you like, pick one form of the Lord that you like, and worship that form with love, devotion, and total surrender. And then he says, I make that Shraddha strong. I make that faith strong. So the more you approach that form of the Lord with devotion, the stronger the Lord also strengthens it. It is like when you love somebody, a person loves you back. So when you love the Lord, he loves you back and makes your love stronger. So that is one level at the spiritual level. At the worldly level, this same shloka can be interpreted in another way, and that is that whatever your strongest desire is, that is what you worship. And the strongest desire does not have to be God. It could be some people worship money. You know, money is the most important thing in my life. Or power. Or somebody wants sense pleasure. Or somebody wants a position. He wants to become the president of the United States. He wants to win the Olympics. He wants to climb Mount Everest. He wants to be make a new program in computer so he can be the next Bill Gates. So the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad very beautifully expresses this. It says, you are what your deepest, strongest desire is. You are what your deepest, strongest desire is. What your driving deep desire is, that is what you really are. Why? Because as your desire, so is your will. That is your determination. What I want, I will go get. As your will, so is your actions. And as your actions, so is your destiny. So we are all pre-programmed by our vasanas, by our desires. But by saying pre-programmed, what we mean is that each one of us comes with certain desires on this earth, certain destinies, certain vasanas, but they are not written in stone. They can be changed. If you make a strong will, if you decide that I do not want my destiny, suppose I am suffering, I am unhappy, and you say, I refuse to suffer, like Buddha said, I do not want to have a life of suffering. I want to find something that is better. Everybody is lot meant to suffer. He said, yep, Your Majesty, everybody is going to suffer. He said, no. There has to be a way out of suffering. And he, through determination, he changed his destiny. Not only he changed his destiny, but changed the destiny of billions of people throughout the world, billions of Buddhists. So they say that you start at the level of the desire, and depending on your desire, you perform your actions, and then that determines your destiny. And we see that people in this world have such strong desires that I must have this at all cost, and regardless of what happens. And there is this beautiful story all of you must have heard in childhood, which is a very striking story. It's about this King Midas. So there was this Greek King Midas, who, M-I-D-A-S, he wanted to be rich. He wanted gold. He was actually a very wise king. He had a lot of knowledge and he had a lot of learning and all, but somehow he got obsessed with gold. And he said, I must have gold. And he just all the time, day and night, just thought about how he can become more rich. And it is said that when your desire is very strong, then the Lord fulfills it. So the Lord appeared before him in the form of a resplendent God. And he said, what do you want, Midas? He says, give me gold. I want gold. He said, okay, granted. Whatever you touch from today will turn to gold. Oh, he became very happy. Everything I touch will turn to gold. Yeah. Oh, that's great. So he went around touching the kitchen sink, the wall, the carpet, the floor, the chair. Wow, his whole palace is full of gold. His toothbrush. He's very happy. Wow, I have so much gold. I'm so rich. And he became so happy. He was obsessed with gold. And then people brought him his breakfast. And the moment he touched his toast, guess what? It turned to gold. He said, wait a minute. You mean I can't eat? He said, doesn't matter, I'll see, But he said, at least it's gold. So he walked out and he was watching in the garden these beautiful flowers. And he had these roses he used to cultivate himself with great love. He himself, nobody was allowed to touch. He loved those particular plants. No gardener was allowed to touch. And he admired the rose. And the moment he touched it to hold on to smell it, lifeless, it turned into gold. So, oh my God, my beautiful rose is now gold. He didn't have the same charm anymore. And just as he was thinking about it, regretting, his one only daughter ran towards him. Oh, father, and he forgot his you know, that gift that he had got, and he embraced her. And there she became lifeless, a gold statue. And he started crying. He said, "Oh my God, what have I done?" And he started crying and crying. And he said, "Oh God, please take away this." And so it says the Lord appeared and took away. And then he realized. And see, that is what the problem is. Not, I mean, this is an extreme example. But we find people in this world also, you know, for money or for power, they're ready to sacrifice all their principles, whether it's their family, whether it's their, even they won't eat or drink, you know, they don't have time to eat, they don't have time to enjoy the flowers, they don't have time to enjoy their family members. Why? Because I have to work. Yeah, work is good, accumulating money is good, there's nothing wrong with that, but when that becomes your overwhelming desire, where then nothing else matters. You know, the example is like these people who are business people, and what they will do is they, in every opportunity, they look for an opportunity for business. So they go out hiking, they go travel. They see this beautiful meadow, you know, surrounded by mountains and flowers and very pretty. And everybody says, "Wow, look at this beautiful meadow." He says, "Yeah, that's very good. Here I can remove these trees and make a resort. I'll make a beautiful resort where people will come and I'll make lots." Yeah, that's good. I mean, you develop the meadow, but their whole attitude towards everything in life is business. How can I make the maximum profit out of it? How can I? You know, even their family members, they consider them as business associates, like some people who do these pyramid schemes. They look at all their friends as, okay, you know, if I can get this person to sign up and that person, then I can become a platinum or I can become gold. And if somebody doesn't sign up, then he's not my friend anymore. So the idea is that, yeah, there is nothing wrong with having a desire and wanting to improve yourself or get better. But when that desire becomes so overwhelming that nothing else matters, so the Lord says, that's fine. If that's what you want, I am the one who gives it to you. Ultimately, everything I get is from the Lord, whether it's money, whether it's power, whether it's position, whether it's wealth. Talking about wealth, there was this person who was a miser who really, really loved his money. And every day at the end of the day, you know, he had a lot of cash business where everything was cash. So he would collect all the cash at night and take it in a bag and take it home. And then he didn't want the government to know. So he would have large quantities of cash he would be carrying home. And one day he got late at work. And so this thief who had been watching that this guy is carrying lots of cash, so he said, "One day I'll catch him." And one day this person was going late at night. He had been working late. And there was nobody and he was going through a deserted alley. And so the thief comes and shows him a gun. And he says, "Hands up." So he gets scared. He puts his hands up. He says, "Give me your money or I'll kill you. Your money or your life." So he didn't say anything. So the thief put a gun on him. He said, "I told you, your money or your life." He said, "Wait a minute, I'm thinking." So that is how we are. You know, we get so fascinated with that. So he says, if that is your desire, the Lord is very impartial. You want money? Last week also we had studied 2 weeks ago. You want money? You can have money. You want knowledge? You can have knowledge. You want relief from suffering? You can have relief. If you want me, I'm available. So that is what he says, that whatever shraddha you have, whatever faith you have, whatever firm determination you have, do that. But remember that ultimately the result I give. And whatever faith you have, I make that strong. I make, for a criminal, you know, who wants to rob and loot banks, who gives him the knowledge to loot the bank? The Lord does. Where did he get the idea of stealing the banks? Where did he get the ability to think about how to rob? Everything comes from the Lord. Lord is energy. He is power. He is strength. How you use that energy, how you use that power, how you use that strength is up to you. So that is the second way of looking at this shloka. The third message that we get from this verse is that one should have a firm goal in life. Because to succeed, one has to have a goal. And we find, you know, kids nowadays, they're in 12th grade. What do you want to do? I don't know. Where are you going to go? To college? Which college? I don't know, you know. So finally they go to college. What is your major? I don't know. I haven't declared, you know, so they won't declare their major. After 2-3 months, 4 months, oh, I want to do medicine. Okay, so he starts doing pre-medical. A year later, I don't like science. I want to learn business, because business people make a lot of money. So in second year, he changes his major to business. And then by the third year, that's not fun. I want computers, because I want, you know, so they keep changing their major, and then, you know, instead of graduating in 3 years, they graduate in 5 years. And then by then, they don't know what they are going to do. Or some people, after having a career for 4 or 5 years, I'm bored now. I want to study law. So they will leave their job, leave everything and go to law school. I mean, yeah, if there is, you really have a strong desire to change, it's okay. But every 5 years to change your career, every 2-3 years, every job, they never can stay in one job because, you know, I don't like the people. You know, there are some people who just fight wherever they go. I know one lady who never can keep a job more than a year. And it's always the other people's fault. The people in the office were horrible. So the point is that unless you have firm faith, you cannot succeed. So they say that decide in your life what you want to achieve. And of course, the highest goal is the spiritual goal. Yes, we have other goals. We have physical goals for our body. We have emotional goals. We have intellectual goals. But the highest is the spiritual goal. So he says, decide what you want in your life. Decide what you want to do. Have firm faith. Do not waver. You know, obstacles may come, problems may come. Just as a river wanting to go towards the ocean. Her goal is the ocean. And in the river, in the middle, there may be mountains, there may be ups and downs, but she'll go around the mountain, she'll cross over. And while the river is going towards the ocean, her goal is clear. I have to merge in the ocean. But while she is going, she's serving the people on both banks. People are taking water, people are, you know, benefiting. So that's what they say, that your life should be like the river. Your goal should be clear, that I want to merge with the Lord. I want to become one with Him. And while I am on that path, the spiritual path of becoming one with Him, I should serve people on both sides of me. I should serve people. And so that is what he says, that whatever your faith is, have firm faith. And then remember, I am the one who makes that faith stronger. Again, I by Krishna, it does not mean Krishna the form, but Krishna the all-pervading reality, the Lord of the entire universe. He says, the Lord of the entire universe, I am the one that makes your goal appear in front of you, makes your goal manifest. So have the goal, put the effort, and then, like it said, have a desire, then because the desire will lead to determination, that will lead to action, and that is how you can improve your destiny, your whole future. It's a very beautiful shloka. The next one is also connected to that.